to a series, and we're in it's a Christmas series. We're talking all about the love of God, and the series is called Loved. We are so loved by God. So let's pray before we continue, okay? So Father, thank you for this word. I pray this word would come alive. I pray this word would be personal, and it would be poignant, and Lord, it would literally spawn a new, fresh desire to know you and to love you and to serve you for the rest of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When love came down, we're talking about being loved, and today we're talking about when love came down. When love came down. You know, I want to take the Christmas story, and I want us to look what's behind this Christmas story. Because there's a secret to what made that very first Christmas so great. And we see it in the scripture, in the first words that tell us of the love that would launch Christmas time. So let's read that together. Okay, of course we know that scripture. It's John 3:16. So let's all together read this verse out loud. I said out loud. Okay, are you ready? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What a powerful scripture. You know, and you know, here's why this verse is so important and why it's so central. What made that first Christmas so great, not just to us, but so great to God, is what God got to do. God so loved that he gave, right? You know, God is a lover. He is a giver. In Lamentations 3:23, talks about God. He says, your steadfast love. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, I want to tell you, all the time, God is giving. God is giving, giving, giving. I think sometimes we are naive to the way that he gives to us every day. Just the fact that we're here is God give us the ability to be here. All the time that God is giving. Right from the time you get up in the morning to the time your pillow hits the bed. He is giving. All day long, he is giving. That's who God is. He does it all day long. But he had this one gift that he'd been saving up for all these years. Do you know that it was prophesied 700 years before that time when Christ came? And Isaiah prophesied the word of the Lord. He said, the virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Yes. Right? Prince of Peace. Mighty God. So here, it's like, here's this, he had this one gift. God had this one gift he'd been saving up for all these years. And in the fullness of time, listen, when he gave us Jesus, he literally outdid himself. God literally outgave himself. And he set a new record of compassion and of generosity and creativity. I mean, who'd ever imagine God would come down to earth in that form? Amen? Isn't that right? And he had, and it's like, he was so excited with this gift. Like he could hardly contain himself and he couldn't keep quiet. So he announced it in his way, in his extraordinary way. You know how he did it? Next slide. He announced it with angels. Christmas is God's announcement of joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen? Joy to the world. Love has come down. Wow. You know, and what kind of love is this? This is an extraordinary love. First thing we realize, that it's the love that literally stepped down. Not just came down. There's a difference. Stepped down. God stepped down from heaven's throne and he came to earth in a form of man. Not just a man, but a baby. A helpless baby in a manger. Look at the words. Philippians 2 verse 6. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. The Creator became creation. Amazing. It is amazing. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, He humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Here's what the scholars call, on your next screen, this is what they call the steep staircase of a passage. The steep staircase of a passage. Here is the divine descent when God stepped down. Here we see the measure of the depth of God's love for you and for me. It was Alexander McLaren. He was a great Scottish preacher in the 1900s. And here's how he explains it. He says, how far it is from the throne of the universe to the manger of Bethlehem and to the cross of Calvary and to the sepulcher, the tomb in the garden. That is the depth of the love of God. Wow, it goes way beyond just the babe in the manger. Way, way, way beyond that. See, this is the Christmas story that is seen behind the scenes, behind the angel choir, behind the bright star. Here's the rest of the story on your PowerPoint. The Son of God literally came down from heaven, from his majesty, to do what? To save us and to show us his love. For the sake of love, he gave up his rights and privileges. And I say, for the sake of love, we can now give up our rights and privileges without losing who we are, our identity. You know, if the real story be told, we discover this unbelievable love of God. The Christmas story is all about the fact that God himself loved us so much that God changed. God changed. He changed his very own mode of being. He altered his mode of being. Listen to this. Scholars say that before Christmas time, that very first Christmas, God was pure spirit. You agree with that? God was pure spirit. All the Godhead was all spirit. But in Bethlehem's manger, one of the three, who is the second person of the Trinity, changed his mode of being, taking upon himself our humanity, thereby changing relationships within God. Isn't that mind-blowing? Mind-blowing. God was all spirit. All of a sudden, Christmas time, the second part of the Trinity, the Son, who is all spirit, suddenly takes on the form, a totally different form, changed and altered the relationships within God. God became what God was not. God became fully God and fully man, just so that we might be free. And this is the unbelievable depth of God's love for us. Amen? Second point about this love. The love of Christ never ends. It's eternal. He never lets us go. One of the most touching stories is concerning Pope John the 23rd. And actually, he's on the cover of Time magazine. He was known to be one of the most popular, most loved popes in all of pope history. And he was a pope in the Vatican from the year 1958 to about 1963. And the people absolutely loved this guy. He went out of the way to connect with people and to show them that he loved them. And there's a story about him that one day, right after Christmas, He went and he visited one of the worst prisons in Rome. Now, here's the extraordinary thing. He was the first pope who went to a prison. No other pope had ever visited a prison in almost 90 years. And he went to this worst of all prisons, and he met with all the prisoners, and he loved on them. And he prayed for them. And those people, and those prisoners, they thanked him. Thank you so much. And he greeted those prisoners, and the Pope said to them, you could not come to me, so I have come to you. Wow, that's exactly what Jesus did, didn't he? Matthew 18, he says, he's the good shepherd. You know, he misses the one, so he goes out of his way to reach the one, and he looks for you. Amen? I want to tell you, his love, it endures forever. His love for you never fails. So important for us to realize that, you know, God never stops loving you. He never stops. Whatever comes into your life, right? Whatever comes into your life, whatever hurt comes into your life, whatever loneliness comes into your life, it doesn't matter. Whatever anguish that you're going through, that in this world that's so temporary, so transient, God's love is for keeps. It's forever. God's love permeates your whole life, right from beginning to end. God is with you when you were born, and he'll be with you when you die. Amen? It's never ending. God is there for you. He will never leave you. There are three types of love. I know some of you, you've probably heard of these if you've been a Christian for a while. There's three major types of love on your screen. That first type of love, the most basic type of love, is eros love. That's sexual love between a man and a woman in marriage. It's between two people. So it's limited to just two people, right? And there's another type of love. It's called philia love, which is friendship love. Now this could be a broader type of love, include more than two people, even a group of people. Philia love is friendship love. You can have a lot of friends, but there's a third type of love. It's called agape. And that's God's all-inclusive, unconditional, unlimited love for everyone. Everyone. This is the love that came down. This is the love. It's supernatural and it's sacrificial. And this is the love that God poured into our hearts by Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. This is that love. And this love goes way beyond our human ability to love. It's God's love, therefore it's unlimited, it's extravagant, it's sacrificial, and it's lavish. Lavish. John chapter 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, verse 1. John says, see what great love the Father has what? Lavished on us, that we should be called what? Children of God. The highest privilege afforded to any human being on earth is to be a child of God. And he says, and that is what we are. Put an exclamation mark upon it. Take note of it. Amen? Listen, you just cannot escape God's love. You can't do it. God's love is unescapable. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Paul says, so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over life's, over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us. No power could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Wow! Your future is so secure in his love. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. There's the saying, I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds my future. He holds your future in his awesome, powerful hands. Amen? Third thing about Christ's love, it's all-encompassing. All-encompassing. God's love is wide. It's all-encompassing. God has enough love for everyone, right? I'll say this again. God has enough love for every color of people under heaven. Blacks, whites, yellows, browns, red, purple, whatever, everything in between. God has enough love for all people. Amen? Do you agree with that? God has enough love for the rich, for the poor, even for the middle class people, right? God has enough love for politicians. God has enough love for conservatives and even for liberals and NDPers, I say. Amen? You know where I stand. God even loves the terrorist. He has enough love for the terrorist, right? He has enough love for that family member that keeps causing trouble in your family. God has enough love for that co-worker that maybe you can't get along with. Amen? God has enough love for all the vaccinated people in the world. Amen? Yes. Come on. God has enough love for all the unvaccinated people. Amen? Yes. He is an all-encompassing love. His love is for everyone. No one is left out. Number three. Maybe this is number four. The love of Christ is personal. It's the personal love. Cora Barth. Picture of Cora Barth. Well, just go to the next screen. This is Cora Barth. I might have talked about him before. But he's a Swedish theologian, one of the greatest. I think when he was living in his time, he was possibly considered the greatest theologian of all times. Amazing man of God, incredible depth and insight in the Word of God, a man of thinking, learning, understanding, speaking. His face was on a Swedish stamp. I mean, he was so well known, he actually made the cover of Time magazine. I think it was in April 1962. I like the little ribbon. It says, the goal of human life is not death, but resurrection. Amen. He's a true man of God. He died in 1968. And here's a story about him. He was invited to be one of the distinguished lecturers at a major theological seminary held in the East. And while he was there, there was a whole group of people like ministers, teachers of the word, theologians, and dignitaries of all kinds. And they all sat around him after he'd give his lecture. And they sat in this question and answer period. And they just began to just ask him all kinds of questions. And then someone asked him this question. Here's the question. What is the most profound thought that you know, Dr. Barth? Do you want to know what he said? Here's what he said. It makes me cry. Jesus loves me. This I know. And the Bible tells me so. Wow. You know, this is the song that my son Jay and Eden sing with their kids every night before they put them to bed. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sing with me. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Wow. What a powerful declaration to pray over your life. Amen? You got to get it. If there's anything our kids need to know, it's that Jesus loves them. They need to know that. We all need to be, whether you're a child or you're an older grown-up person, you need to know and understand the love of God. It makes all the difference in your world. That's what being a Christian is all about. Faith, hope, and a love. But the greatest of these is love. And it goes on. Corinthians chapter 13. You can do all these things. You can prophesy, you can preach, you can do all these signs, wonders, and miracles. You can give all your money. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. You're just a cleansing, you're just a noise. That's it. God wants us as believers to understand and to be filled with the love of God. That makes us so powerful, so effective as believers. Amen? His love is very personal and is stronger than anything that can happen to you. Amen? Any negative thing that can happen, His love is stronger. His love is stronger. Stronger than sin, and stronger than sorrow, and it's mightier than death. Amen? And His love undergirds all of our life. It's like a safety net underneath us. It undergirds all of our life. In all of life's ups and downs, right? In His fluxes and furies, God's love is always going to be there. John Greenleaf Whittier said it this way, "I know not what the future hath of marvel or surprise, assured along that life and death God's mercy underlies. I only know I cannot drift beyond His love and care." His love is personal. His love is so personal. So let me ask you right now, are you sure right now that Jesus is crazy in love with you? Are you sure? Good. You need to be sure. Are you 100% sure? Not that God just so loved the world, but actually loves me. That He loves you. Yeah. Be secure. Are you 100% sure without a shadow of a doubt? Right? I want to ask you another question. How much do you think that God the Father loved His Son Jesus? How much? Okay, the answer would be obvious, right? The Father would love the Son and love the Son perfectly, completely, right? So, in John chapter 15, verse 9, this is what Jesus said. Listen to this. "Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." Did you get that? Just as much and in the same way that the Father loves Jesus, that's the way God loves you. That's how much He loves you. He loves you as much as He loves His Son. Amen? You know, you think, I want to be honest. I read that scripture the first time, and I thought, wow, can that really be just as much as the Father loved Jesus? He loves me. Shouldn't that be, well, just as the Father loved Jesus, well, cut that in half. Or cut that in a third. Or maybe a quarter of that. Because sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? Sometimes you get disconnected from the sense that you're loved by God. I see some of us get it, and some people struggle in believing that verse. So, but I want to say this, that you can't get this knowledge by trying to figure it out yourself. You can't work to attain that knowledge, right? You can't get by studying it and then just kind of know it. You can't, it's not like you do an exam, you just check it off. It doesn't happen that way. See, something has to happen. I said it last week, through the power of the Holy Spirit, for you and I to understand this love. And see, here's the thing about this love. You never stop fully understanding it. Because it's too wide, too high, too deep. It goes beyond. But the more you grow in that, the more mature, the more secure that you become as a believer, and more powerful your faith becomes. Amen? This is something that we need to be working on all the time. Something we need to be praying for ourselves, because there's power in prayer. Prayer is this divine relationship. There's the power of Holy Spirit within us. And Paul prays for us to understand this love. And he prays that this love would literally not just be in us, but it needs to overflow in and out of us. Let's read that scripture. It's in Ephesians 3, verse 14. This is the Passion Version. This is what he prayed. This is what he said. "So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods into your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Wow, don't you love that language? Then, by constantly using your faith, the love of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. You know, I think about, you know, Leon Fontaine, Pastor Leon Fontaine, when he passed away, the one outstanding thing about Leon, Pastor Leon, was that he loved people. It was undeniable. He loved people. He made people feel like they were the most important person in the room. He just loved people. And that was the power of his ministry. It was built on love. Just loving people. And he did it so, so well. Then, verses 18 and 19. Was it verse 17? I can't remember. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. So true. Verse 18 and 19. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How endearing and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. He's talking about Holy Spirit's power of love. Agape. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Jesus stood up on the last and greatest day of the feast, the feast of the Passover. And he said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Holy Spirit love. That's why I say, more of your Spirit, Lord. Rivers of love, rivers of life, river of God's love, God's presence, God's power begins to flow through us. Right? You know, it happened. That later day, it happened. It was released on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when power, Holy Spirit, was poured out on all the people that were there. You know, that love is for you and I today. Amen? We can ask for that same power and love. You know, I look at people. Today I see so much emptiness in people's lives. And people are trying to fill their life with drugs and alcohol and sex and pleasures and other relationships. You know, what they need is something supernatural. They need the love of Jesus. Amen? No one but Jesus can fill the hole in people's hearts. They need Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy your deepest needs. Amen? It was love that sent him here to earth. Well, last point about his love. His love requires a personal response. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love, that you may be filled to the fullness of all the fullness of God. Question, why do you need to be filled to overflowing with the love of God? Why do we need to be filled? Here's why. Because it's only God's love that makes up for the rejection you may feel from others. It's only God's love that gives you the power to really forgive. Not sort of, but to really forgive. Only God's love gives you the hope to carry on even after the greatest disappointments that you might have gone through. Amen? Because it's God's love that gives you vitality, that gives you purpose in life, even after you've gone through all the heartaches and the pains in this life. Amen? And here's another reason. Because love people. Amen? We need the love of God. And we find ultimate fulfillment in the one who created us. And what's his name? Jesus. Who is he? He's the babe in the manger. Right? He's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure in the field. He's everything. Amen? Amen. We need Jesus. Christmas time is all about when love first came down to earth. So the question is, have you received his love? And are you growing in his love? Amen? And you find it. You only find it. That type of love in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. I want to just pray for us. Father God, just like your word tells us, your love is beyond human understanding. It has to be revealed to us by Holy Spirit. It's revealed. It's received. We receive it through the power of your Holy Spirit. It's beyond understanding. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to grasp just a little bit more this thing called the love of God. Help us just open up the mind and the understanding of our heart to see who you are and to realize what you've done for us. And let that be the catalyst, the stimulus, to open up our hearts and surrender and say, Jesus, we just need more of your love, more of your power flowing through our lives. So, Father in heaven, help us to grow closer to you and to love you more than anything in this life, more than anything or any person, even more than our sin. And Father, help someone here who may be here to accept your love for the very first time. Help them to see the love that was made complete through a Savior who died for you on the cross. Father, we pray this in your precious name, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you just bow your head for just a minute, a couple minutes more? If you're this person and you've never received Christ, you never personally invited him into your heart, then I want to lead you. This is the perfect time. We're heading into Christmas. What a time to receive the gift that was first given to us at Christmas. If that's you, I want to say a simple prayer for you. And I promise you say that with all your heart, it will be the most powerful, life-changing prayer you will ever pray in your life. Amen? So if that's you, or maybe you might have at one time even given your life to Jesus, but you've kind of fallen away from him, and now you want to come back. Well, you can say this prayer too, okay? So if that's you, you want to receive Christ, or you're just coming back to him, say this prayer. Join with me. Say this to Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me, shedding your blood on the cross to pay for my sins. Jesus, I believe you, and now I receive you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen.